Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you again, and thank God the weather's temporarily got warmer here up in Independence, Ohio, outside of Cleveland. And we're looking forward to the day when Jesus comes and the weather's going to be perfected and all the problems, of course, will be solved immediately. And he is coming back, and the evidences are all around us that he is getting ready to come back. You know, they mentioned Mantua Country Baptist Church out in Mantua, Ohio, in the area of Aurora. And last Sunday, I was out there preaching at the church, and the pastor was out of town, Pastor Murray Bays, an excellent, outstanding pastor. And they've supported this church, I think, somewhere around 36 years. And I really appreciate that. And then I'm thinking a number of churches that support the ministry that I have, and we have People's Baptist in Brunswick, Ohio, and then we have Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and different ones have supported the ministry that we have, and then they had supported the program, and we really thank God for them and the people of that church. And it's an interesting group of people. They started out mostly country people, and then they had a group of PhDs and college professors go out there. They all get along together, which means we get saved. Why, God's given us the ability to get along really good, and we had a wonderful time out there and fellowshipping, and we went out. We had dinner together, and it was a delicious meal, and just a wonderful, wonderful day. And so, you know, if you live anywhere around Mantua or the Aurora area, why, we invite you to go. You know, they believe that they have the Word of God, as thousands of churches do, by the way, Baptist churches. And, you know, I mentioned it many times on the program, Christ gave the apostles the very words of Scripture. And then at Pentecost, he gave them the gift of tongues, which he gave them the translation of those words. And so he gave them the very translations of the words that he wanted. And so these were preserved. And you know, they were hated down through the ages, and people tried to, hundreds of thousands of people were killed to try to wipe out those words, but they never did. And then finally, why, the King James translators, they took those words. It's 99% of the ancient manuscripts that the King James is based on, and they knew these different languages. God put these words into quite a number of different languages. And they translated those words. And someone was telling me out there, said, well, boy, one plate church, they really hate the King James. Well, there's been haters all the way through, but you're not going to stop it, because Jesus said in three Gospels, he said that the words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so the other translations, since they're not really the words of God, the words of men are mixed in with the words of God. They just come and go and constantly changing. You know, we use a word referring to God, and it says that word is immutable. And that means he doesn't change, and his word doesn't change. And so God's people have had his word right from the time of the Christ and the apostles. Jesus is called the Word of God. And that's why it's so important. God's words are perfect. And so we have them, and they had them in the past. They found hundreds of Bibles that had the true words of God that support the readings of the King James. I was reading the Confession of Faith of Baptist people back in 1120, 1120, long before Luther. They talk about, some people say that the gospel was revived or was reinstituted, but no, they were preaching the gospel right from the time of Christ, and they were preaching it all over the place, all over Europe. And the evidence is the Bibles are in museums over there that they used, and it corresponds to the King James, although it's in different languages. We're not against translations, by the way. into different languages. And there, but we're saying that God particularly has blessed this one. And so you can check to see if your translation lines up with this. I mean, most of the older ones do. I was talking to a Palestinian friend of mine some years ago, and we were comparing Bibles that's practically identical in his language. And so the older ones, but the modern ones are very corrupt, and they come out of Alexandria, Egypt, and the Bible warns you against Egypt over and over again, and even talks about Alexandria, because they were at Stephen's martyrdom, and they were, Apollos was the confused Bible scholar from Alexandria, Egypt. So if you're using the modern versions, it's based on that text, the Alexandrian so-called text, and those manuscripts disagree constantly with each other, you're using something that God does not approve of. And that's why they're constantly changing them. People need to understand this. And in a few minutes, we're going to read Isaiah 53, but they need to understand every one of these translations comes from a different Greek and Hebrew text, not the same thing. They'll say, they'll talk about a translation, but it's a different text because it's text that people have been messing with and that are constantly changing. I mean, look at Nestle's. What do they have? New American Standard's based on Nestle's 23rd edition, but then they change it again, and they have the NIV based on the 24th edition with all kinds of changes. Well, the King James just stays the same, and it lines up with the scriptures that God gave the apostles in Christ, and it's come right down and hasn't changed. You know, some of you act like a cult member. You know, when the Jehovah's Witness visit your house, they want to give you literature, but they won't take your literature. They won't read your literature. And some of you, you've learned that stuff. I'm telling you right now, and I'll stand on this. Many of these Greek departments in these schools are satanic. And I mean, I say this, I'm not talking off my head without the experience. I have taught Baptist pastors for 30 years, and I have read every book that I got my hands on. I have listened to students tell me what was going on. I know exactly what's going on in these schools. It's really satanic, and there's constant change in the words of the Bible, and they have a way of introducing this. For instance, one of the ways they do this, they have a King James Bible, and then they show you a Greek text, and it has a translation of that Greek text. They don't bother to tell you it's a different Greek text than the Greek text behind the King James. Just a little omission, you know. That's ridiculous. They're using a different Greek text altogether. Then they don't tell you about the Unitarians that are giving definitions for this Greek text. So you study your lexicon, and it's by Unitarians, and so that's the second way they convince you. You read the lexicon, doesn't agree with the words in the King James, and they don't tell you who's writing the lexicons. But heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall never pass away. Three times in the gospel, three gospels, it says this. And Jesus says, you see, you just need a little bit of faith and believe in the Bible, just a little bit, see? Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. And he says, I have given them the words that thou hast given me. Are we going to believe Jesus or some corrupt Greek professor, or corrupt Bible, or some corrupt preacher? This, and the whole thing behind this thing is pride. When the devil said to Adam and Eve, when he was talking to him, to convince them to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and it's the tree of knowledge. You know, it's knowledge that didn't come from God. It's knowledge that came from corrupt people. That's the thing. They went off to school. Somebody says Mary had a little lamb, and it went off to school and believed everything it was taught. And, hey, I wasn't taught this. The thing is, when I began to study this subject, I had read the New Testament through 100 times. And then when I began to observe what was going on, then I went to one of the leading seminaries at that time, and I went to the Greek professor, He gave me a paper and he says, God never said he'd preserve his words. Man, as soon as I read that, I says, this guy is wrong. You talk about a lying blasphemy. It's taught all through the Bible that he would preserve his words by his power. So I read that, and the more I got into it, the more I saw lying all the time. I mean, in deception. And I tell you, you know, local churches should teach young people, not professors. You get sometimes you get a group of them together, and the devil gets in their case, and they just attack the Word of God, and they appeal to man's ego and pride. We're smarter than that bus driver that took you to church where you got saved. We're smarter than those people that believe the King James at your church. Well, they're not smarter at all. And they're willfully ignorant because they won't even read the other side. Why don't you read the other side? Some of you preachers, why don't you read the other side? Why don't you read which Bible would God use? And you can look it up on the internet by Floyd, what's his name?
Well, give me just a moment here. I'll call it up for you here. It's...
I better remember those names, you know. And, or...
there you are. Floyd Nolan
no, that's
Jones.
Floyd Nolan Jones, which version is God's word?
Yeah.
But which Bible would Jesus use? Well, you can look that
up,
you know.
Gave you the wrong one
McElroy,
there.
McElroy. Read these two books for a start. I mean, yeah. and then check it out and check the verses. These modern versions are full of blasphemy. I mean, they call Jesus a liar. How bad can you get? And God's not going to accept you saying, well, I can't understand the King James. It's amazing how many churches where they're not educated, I mean, they don't have college degrees, how they use the King James and can understand it. I understood it when I was a child. So anyway, we believe God has preserved his word. Jesus said it. He would do it. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. And then I think of, you know, we're getting, we're going to talk about Isaiah 53, we get to it, but I think about some of the other stuff. You know, St. Peter's talked about it. He says, they make merchandise of you. Suppose they had a good translation. They'd still make another one, and then they'd change the words because they have to change the words to get to be able to claim the money from it, you know, to get the, I can't think of the exact word I want there, you know, but they get a royalties from the thing, but they have to, by law, change the word so many times. So everyone's going to be changed. Now, if you read this, which Bible would Jesus use? And I'm telling you, why not read something on the other side? You'll see people like Moyer and some of the leading evangelicals, and they'll recommend a Bible. Oh, this is accurate. This is wonderful. It's in line with the originals, of course, which they don't have. And then 10 years later, they recommend another one. And in the book, he shows that they'll recommend two different ones at 10 years apart, a whole group of these leading evangelicals. And then the two that they have recommended being so accurate disagree with each other. Can you believe it, you know? That's why I call them the chaos cult, because they're a cult. You know, like I say, the JWs, they won't listen. They won't read any of your literature. And some of you guys won't even read anything but what you were taught in school. I'm telling you, this is the most insane, amazing, crazy, and it's satanic. These versions come out, and they're recommending them, and you have different versions, and they disagree with each other. Oh, the storyline is the same, but key verses have been changed, and we've been saying this all along. Well, let's get to our today we're going to talk about Isaiah 53.
All right. Do you want me to give the phone call number, telephone
numbers?
Yeah,
you can give the number.
All right.
If somebody wants to call.
Yeah, and you can. We are on live. You can call Bruce Musselman at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, those books that you were mentioning, we have them linked to online. And so you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And there's links to which Bible would Jesus use located there if you want to get that. And also past programs are listed there that you can listen to. And we are in Isaiah chapter 52.
Yeah, that's right.
And verse number 13 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high."
Amen. I love that. Jesus is exalted and extolled. He's praised in every country in the world. From the Bible predicts that that would happen. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, there are people that love Jesus, that praise him. You can go to a Bible-believing church in almost every country in the world. Now, some churches teaching the same thing as Baptists, and they may not be called that, but you can go to a Baptist church. And, you know, if some of them are counterfeit like everything else, but, you know, you go, if it says Baptist, then you talk to the preacher, say, "You believe the King James Bible is the verbally inspired word of God." And if he hedges on that, you don't want to go there. You know, go to one that believes that he has God's word. But they're all over the world. And I have a book that trains Baptist preachers for the ministry, and many, probably hundreds of pages, large print, and it has lesson plans and everything to teach on this subject, totally covers the subject. So we believe Jesus, and we don't believe Greek professors when they disagree with Jesus. They agree with him. We believe it. Jesus is the Word of God, and he is absolutely true. Now, he's extolled all over the world, is praised by people from in every country of the world, and he is very high. He is sitting in heaven on the throne right now. Okay.
All right. In verse 14, the Bible says, "As many as were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men."
Okay. You want to go back to all right. Okay. We're in 52 then. All right.
Verse 14.
All right. Okay, I think we want another verse there.
All right, want me to continue on?
Oh, I see it right now. Okay, we're getting together here. All right. It shows we're human.
Just get on the same page here, I guess.
Yes. He says, after being extolled, he says, as many were astonished as they see his visage. That's his face. It says, is more marred than any man. Can you imagine this? God in human body, they beat him in a face until you couldn't recognize his face. They beat him right in the face, and he took it. God, Almighty God. He could have blotted out the universe with one word. And it says, is more marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, this was given by God to the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus came. Okay, go ahead.
All right, and Isaiah 52, verse 15, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider."
All right, you know, he's coming back, and when he comes back, they're going to shut their mouth. Nobody's going to say a word. You know, the first time Jesus came as a lamb, and you know, there's going to be a war between God and this world. And I'm telling you, if you think it's bad now, wait till that happens. I mean, judgment's going to come with 100-pound hailstones falling all over the place. And I mean, it says the kings of the earth are going to cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them to hide him from the face of the Lamb. The first time he came as the Lamb of God, willingly dying for our sins. And people just don't understand it yet. But that's what we're to teach. When he died, he said, "It is finished." He was punished for every sin you ever committed, and believe me, you've committed them. I've committed them. Every thought, word, and deed is being counted up by God and kept in records by God. But when Jesus came, he was punished for every single one we ever did, and he said, "It is finished," and now he went to heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father. And he says, the next verse...
All right, that brings us into Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?"
Now, saying, who's believed our report? You see, if you want God's blessings, King David said it thousands of years ago. He said, blessed are all they that trust in him. And he just said that Jesus was the Son of God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he said he was the Son of God. And then he said, blessed are all they trust him. Why? Because he paid for our sins. That's why. He was punished in our place. Go ahead.
All right, verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
You know, that tabernacle or tent they had in the wilderness is a picture of Jesus in every point. And on the outside, it didn't look beautiful. But I tell you, when you go inside, it was radiantly beautiful. And I tell you, when you know Jesus Christ, who he really is, and you fellowship with him, he is the most beautiful person in the universe. The Lord God Jehovah, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is beautiful for everything that he says and everything that he does. And it says he'll grow up like a tender plant. He's going to be born into the world. That's the virgin birth. And then he's going to grow up like a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. Okay.
All right, and Isaiah 53, verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
So that's particularly talking to Israel, but many people, they despise him. Why? Because he allowed himself to be beaten and mutilated and died on a cross. That's why they despised him, and he was rejected of men. And a man of sorrows, everything he said and did was criticized. And they were plotting all the time to murder him. And his people left him, and they betrayed him, everything. And they hid, as there were, their faces from him. They despised him, and they didn't show him respect and honor. Oh, go ahead.
And verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Yeah, he took our punishment. He took our beating. He took our suffering. He took our punishment. He took our rejection by the Father while he was on the cross. He took our sorrow, everything. But it says we didn't esteem him. And so most people, they don't respect Jesus, who he really is. He's the creator of the universe. You don't see anything that it was ever made. The Bible says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He literally upholds the universe by the words of his power.
All right. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
So he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sins. And he was bruised, and that comes from a heavy beating for our iniquities. And it repeats once again, Jesus died on the cross, and it says we're healed. That means when we accept Jesus Christ, no matter what habit or sin you have, God will give you the victory. Jesus says, I come to bring freedom, and freedom is from the power of addictions and sin.
All right, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Somebody said, well, how come there's so many religions? Or they'll say, so many people don't believe like you. And it doesn't matter. You know, the whole world may not believe like us, but the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. This is the word of God. And by the way, this is a summary of the whole book of the Bible.
All right, verse number 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his slaughter. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
So he allowed himself to die in our place as a substitute. And when we repent of our sins and accept him as Lord, Savior, we have eternal life.
All right. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. I'm sorry. Verse number 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
He died in our place. That's what it's saying. Next verse.
He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Read the next one.
And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He sees people that have trusted
him. You have
been
listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.